We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, August 9th at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance for observation, Jurgen Schuler, Team and Dorn, Twavely and Lidl. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held July 26, 2023, approve all claims through August 9, 2023 in the amount of $544,929.05. Accept claim number 2308-0070 to Johnny's Welding Inc. in the amount of $141.12. And claim number 2308-0075 to RL Team and Construction Inc. in the amount of $50,978.74 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of July 2023. Approve receiving sheriff's statement of collection on collection of distress warrants for June 2023. Approve sending letter to planning and zoning requesting review of regulations for livestock confinement facility operations. Approve utility permit number 1282 to Norris Public Power. Norris will be installing new electrical lines to a residence at 8898 West Buckeye Road. Norris will start in the south grader ditch, bore under Buckeye Road to the north grader ditch, then on to residence property to utility pole. Located north of Section 3, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, Grant Township, and south of Section 34, Township 6 North, Range 5 East, Claytonia Township. Approve reappointing Dennis Rosine to another term on the Gage County Planning and Zoning Commission effective July 1st, 2023, and approve receiving county offices inventory statements and placing them on file. I'd ask for a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pull number 7 and hold it till the next meeting so that when Emily's here, we can discuss it.
There's a second.
Motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, less item 7. We'll hold that till next meeting.
Yep.
Moved by Swavely, seconded by Lytle. Any other items to pull off the consent agenda? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. We'll hold on to that letter then. If anyone has any comment on it, we can talk about that, I guess, at committee meetings here in a couple of weeks also.
Sure.
Up next, regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 2308-0070 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $141.12.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Mr. Jurgens abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 2308-0075 to RL Team and Construction, Inc. in the amount of $50,978.74. This would bring the total of claims approved through August 9, 2023 to $596,048.91. This is a company that I'm involved with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Mr. Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. This would be a time if any of you would like to speak about anything not on the agenda or that you'd like to have spoken on at a future meeting or anything. Yes, sir. I'd like to welcome all of you here. Rain didn't make it any more pleasant for you.
Yeah.
Would you please give your name and address for the record? And in this segment, we're not allowed to converse back and forth with you or go back and forth with questions and answers, but we can listen to your concerns and address them in the future.
Okay. My name is Clint Rule. I'm from Liberty, Nebraska. And on a previous meeting, I requested for a survey on the safety of that road from 176 from Liberty down to the Alms confinement, and they said that the only concern they had was a plank on the bridge. There are no bridges between Liberty and there. And there is one bridge just north of there. It's a concrete bridge. I'm concerned that they might have been on the wrong road. I would still like this. Our school starts today, and the bus will be running up and down that road again. And I would like to make sure that the safety on that road will accompany the semis and the bus. Thank you.
Mr. Rule, like I say, we can't answer questions and go back and forth, but I would ask you to talk to Mr. Conkey, our highway superintendent.
Okay.
And he can give you a little more accurate information than that. So we did look at that, and I will say he'll have different information for you on
okay.
on that piece of road.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak in public comment? Anything you'd like to talk to the board about? Like I say, welcome all of you. If there's no one else who'd like to speak, we'll continue down the agenda then. Right, and hold for 2 weeks.
But you didn't vote on consent.
Yes, Swavely, Lytle,
no,
6.
That was your, wasn't that your motion to pull it?
We don't usually have a motion to pull.
That's what we thought, though. I think he thought that that was the motion. So.
You thought the motion was to pull item 7? Or to approve
it? To delay it 2 weeks.
Delay it.
And to approve the rest of the consent agenda, or
yeah.
Only to...
Oh, okay, so we
okay,
did do
so
it. Okay.
I want to make sure
yeah.
that...
Okay.
Don and I were both on the...
Thank you. Normally, we don't have a motion to pull an item off, just if you want to pull it off, and then we address it immediately after, but if you want to wait 2 weeks...
I requested to do it next meeting, okay?
And that's fine. I just want to make sure that we covered the motions for the consent.
Don wants to make sure I don't mess up, yep. is what yeah. it is. Thank you.
2 weeks, not all consent.
Roger, there's a proclamation
oh.
I forgot to put on here. We need to make an.
I just, as I noted, just
do it as we go.
Yeah, whenever you want to book.
Okay.
You can do it. The end.
We'll move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
Let David take care of that right now this morning.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a few things. The flag pole at the Veterans Office is a telescoping pole, and it's been kind of taking a beating with the windstorms that we've had. I'd like to replace it with just a better quality flag pole. And I have not got a price on that yet, so I'm working on that. And we would probably put it on the south side of the driveway this time. There's a tree close to it now, so to avoid getting tangled in that tree. And then we're going to get acoustical panels on third floor. I checked with Applied Connective, and they gave us a bid to just have them delivered here, and we would install them. I wanted their opinion. They used these panels before and have had some real good luck with them. And Sergeant Davidson has always complained about when everybody comes out of the courtrooms and is discussing business out in the hallways. It's so noisy in there. So try them there, and if they work, maybe we can install them in other places also. They've had real good luck with them. We've talked a little bit about removing this column, what it would involve, and so I did reach out to King Little and asked for a ballpark figure. He said he couldn't give it, I'll read what he said. I'm not in a professional position to give you an estimate of this cost of column removal since I am not a contractor. He said his insurance company doesn't like him to do that either. So we're just asking for a ballpark. I did reach out to Richard Burton this morning and asked if he's had any similar projects to something like this that we could get just a number on. So it would be nice to get this out. It is kind of an involved process to do it. It would cause us to would have a pole up in front and two poles in back to remove this pole. So we'll keep looking into that and see what the pros and cons are on that. And then we've talked about redesigning the boardroom a little bit, the front bench, and if we do leave the pole, how we could work around it, or if we do move it, incorporate that into the bench also. And then the last thing, this is not on the agenda, Masonry Construction gave me a bid on the clock tower, all four sides of the clock tower, and it is a sizable amount, so I kind of want to give a heads up and then possibly either put it on the agenda for the next meeting. The proposal was for $213,313, and that would be to do the same as what they've been doing on the rest of the building. It would be all four sides, and then there's four turrets, two small chimneys, and what they've done up there is for some reason they used one mortar on this part of the building that's been all been repointed. When they got to the chimney, there's a lot of caulking and a lot of super hard mortar. It almost looks like a concrete type mortar. It had a lot of sand in it, and it was a lot different than what we've been dealing with down here. So I do have pictures, and I'd like to give you guys just a bit to have you look at this, and then when we come back 2 weeks from now, make a decision on whether we'd want to continue with this. The tower is this high enough, it's like the chimney, where you really don't see what's going on until you get up there close and you can see the spalling and one issue we have had, we've had good luck with it. I've been pleased with their work, but we are having some color change, and they're using, it's called a yawn patch. It's a mortar that's been time-tested, and it works good, but on our building it's changed some color from them trying to match the color perfectly, and they've done some over-dyeing on some of them, and I've talked to Greg Dennis from Masonry Construction about this, and he's just as concerned as I am with the color change and said he will address the problem. Last person that was here is his name's Bob. He did some repairs on this side, and he's got such a good color match you cannot see it, and that's from last fall, but I don't know what's going to happen over time as far as, you know, keeping that true color. That's something that needs to be addressed also as far as I'd like to see what he's going to do here soon with what we do have. But anyway, that's something to think about for 2 weeks from now and see if we want to continue with that.
Dave, what are your thoughts on just removing the loose pieces? So we've got those. I know that some of them are flat, and that's where you would see it more, the textured.
Yeah, it is mainly the rock face stone really doesn't show much. It's always the flat stone, and it's just delaminating. I don't know if it's between sediment layers or what, but it is. That's always a good question. I guess if they could match it perfectly, I would always recommend doing it. I think it does. It's been proven that it does slow down the deterioration of the sandstone. It's naturally just nature's going to, you know, slowly do its toll on the stone. One thing that this does do, though, is sometimes when you see just a little bit of flaking and they start tapping on it, it's hollow behind there. So it's worse than what it looks like. If they did knock it off to prevent water from settling in there and then freezing and popping off big chunks, I would think would help also.
I just wondered if they took the pieces that were coming off, as high as that is, we'd never see it.
Correct, yeah. And
that's why we don't see it now.
I mean, right, we don't see it, and then we don't have different colors, and they're kind of spendy on their patches too, and when we see a different color, then it stands out more.
Right, yeah, I totally agree with that. It's up there pretty high, and I think the main problem is just getting that old sealer off the building, making sure our gutters are always clean. That's caused a lot of these problems. Unfortunately, the only you can see from the roof looking down if you have a clogged gutter. So I do check those often, but,
you'll have to learn to fly a drone.
Yes. So they're just high up enough up there to where we need a bucket truck when we do clean them out. But I do keep an eye on that. But it's just, things like that, if we could prevent a lot of this damage from happening in the future.
Could we get an opinion from him?
Yes.
About just taking that off and leaving it the way it is and see what his opinion is. He does this all the time, okay, so he would should have an idea of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah. And he stops down here often, so I'd actually like to probably invite him to the next committee report or board meeting and let him talk to. So he's been doing this, for at least the past 10, 11 years, I think, and we're pretty much tower, and then we do still have some work to do on the east side yet also. So I've been pleased with his work. I think they do a great job, but just the color changing is a concern on those patches.
Okay. Even with the color change, though, Dave, at least we've gotten the sealant off and whatever else. I mean,
right? Yeah.
If we deal with a little bit of off color, that's not the end of the world. At least the building's being taken care of right now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it is being taken care of. More of a long-term solution, and also the grout that was used in the past was a hard grout or mortar. I'm sorry, mortar. And they're repointing it with a softer mortar. And he has a lot of pictures that show just how damaging a hard mortar, when those blocks move over the seasons, it really, knocks off the edges of the block. So just by doing that also will help the building in the long run.
So up there with this bid, is it, as far as square footage, it's a little bit less than what we've done on the sides. Is it not, or am I?
I would almost say it's still probably more than this north side. Okay. When they did the north side, they bid that at $130,000, I think, the north. And that was no repairs, but just to wash and repoint. And on that, when you're looking at it, it doesn't look that big, but when you get up close, there is with the chimneys and the south side would actually be from third floor all the way up to the top of the tower.
So there is quite a bit of square footage.
There is square footage, and there is quite a bit of damage if they do repair it with the yawn patch also.
I think we've said this before. It's this project that we've been ongoing for a while, and it's good to see us finally getting the end. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't want to hiccup here at the end. Let's make sure we take care of it right. Yeah.
And I do appreciate us being able to take care of it now for the future of the building, too. So
Thanks, Dave.
I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization, of course, we've been dealing with that here quite some time. We've continued to talk with the assessor's office if there are any other items we need to do to try to get commercial equalized out a little better. Mr. Dickinson was here Monday going over East Court Street, some of those items he wanted to address, but we'll continue to look at equalization especially on the commercial side. Something you guys need to keep in mind too, we'll be needing to look for, if we're going to do referees this next year, we'll need to look for some referees probably, and either hire some or do it as a board again. So that will be something for next year. I guess you've got 12 months on that, but just have it in the back of your mind. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. Advanced correctional health care, jail on-site medical services, $10,067.16. Lloyd Dickerson, appraiser for protest, $13,475. Gage County, fund transfer to emergency management, $60,000. PERU, inmate excess medical insurance, $11,045. U.S. Postal Service, postage for meter, $25,000. Washington County Sheriff, boarding inmates, $13,500. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $41,380.76. R.L. Tiemann, township gravel, material and hauling, $50,978.74. Rock On Incorporated, hauling material, township gravel, $10,295.66.
And we have an insurance discussion here just after committee meetings. Human Resource and Employee Relations, we will have a closed session at the end of the meeting to go over some personnel issues. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Gus, you got anything?
Ladies first.
Ladies first, yes. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to bring you up to date on the Island Grove Township, the CAFO operation. As of yesterday, we did set a public hearing for that. I did reach out to a couple landowners that were in contact with me to let them know when that is. So P&Z will be having their hearing process on Tuesday evening, August 29th. Our meeting will start at 6:30, and the hearing will be at 6:45. So just to share with you the process a little bit and the people that are in the audience, this will, again, be P&Z's hearing process in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission. So they will, we encourage everyone to, you know, give us support documentation for or against, I should say. Right now, this particular application is in the state's review process. It's more than likely the outcome of the state's yes or no moving forward, you know, with the state permitting process should be in place by the time P&Z has their hearing. I have looked at several of the documents that many of the people in the audience have given to the state. I assure everyone that has submitted to the people that are in the audience also that our P&Z members will also see that, but I also encourage them if they have any other documentation that they want to share, they can give that to me ahead of time, and we'll make sure we put that in packets, you know, to P&Z members. So keeping in mind, though, the process for this is the Planning and Zoning makes the recommendation after they review the regulations. Then we start over again. So for those that are wondering if this is, you know, all completed after the August 29th meeting, it is not. We will move forward then if a recommendation is made from P&Z to your hearing, which most likely would be 2 to 3 weeks later, depending upon how the timeline runs. And then you, again, will look at those materials and be making that decision then. So one of the things I just want to make clear, too, is we received the application for that CAFO operation the end of June. And one of the, through the review process, I did not feel comfortable with the placement of the measurements. I wanted exact measurements of where that building was going to go. And so the applicant wanted me to hurry up the process, but I did not feel comfortable with doing that. I did ask them to go out and mark the specific building site so that our county surveyor, Chris Witulski, then could go out and do those proper measurements. On Monday, I did receive those measurements from him, and it does meet the half a mile setback to both the closest residences. So, therefore, I did set the public hearing then for the 29th. So,
there was some question last time on who was notified. Sure. Have we broadened that out a little bit?
Sure. So those individuals that are live within the property line of 1 mile are to be notified of any property line. So in this particular case, I did consult with Roger on that, and so that particular parcel where it's going is only 40 acres. However, we're going to go the entire 140 acres because that particular is all owned by one landowner. The landowner is still Donato, so we'll go out further. But the applicant also encouraged me, if I need to send letters out, you know, further, you know, we want to make sure we do that. So the assessor has prepared the list for me. We actually went out about 1.75 miles. So we're going to touch on a lot of those people in the Liberty, the Village of Liberty, too. So they'll be getting their landowners or property owners notifications most likely by the weekend or for sure Monday. We're working on those today. So also keep in mind this particular application is next to a county line. So Pawnee County line has to be those landowners. We've gone 1 mile out into that area for notification. We do that as a good procedure between county operations and then their clerk. I know Mark has been also in contact with the roads for Pawnee County, a roads department, and so. And then the Village of Liberty will also be notified, and we'll post it down there, and that'll be posted on site. So,
do you want to touch on kind of how you're monitoring progress on that other barn, just with documentation?
Sure. So, as of last week, as of your last meeting, your condition placed upon one of the conditions that needed to be met was that the air emissions application had to be approved by the state of Nebraska before they could start construction. On Monday morning, that application had been completed, and so through, again, consult with the county attorney's office reviewing that air emission permit that was issued from the NDEE, we were able to approve that permit based on those conditions that you placed. So that particular application has started digging. Groundwork is work. They're working on it. In fact, that next day after they received the approval, they started digging. My intent with this particular project is we'll weekly monitor and take pictures, you know, of that particular site just for our own record. But many of the things that, the digging, the approval of the concrete, you know, the integrity of the concrete, those are all approved through the state of Nebraska too, through their review process. So if that answers what you.
And there's also a question, and also you're going around and you're going to be doing weekly photos and.
That's what I was referring to. I'll take weekly updates, you know, at three specific points without not going on the property, but at least, you know, you guys have something to review too as the process goes in. So
there was a question Monday about the North Road. Is that Cedar Road?
Yes.
Being closed. And I said there was some conversation with the township. I know where the developer was going to redo an eighth mile, something like that. That first section of road, re-rock it, rework the ditches. I don't know if that goes through you at all or...
It does not. That is entirely an agreement that between the township and the applicant that they have come to. I don't oversee those agreements between those two. We did know, as a commission, we knew that they had conversations about what the township was expecting on the integrity of the road and traffic flows and so forth. In fact, they stated that in a letter. It was part of our, you know, of the application process when we were in our application hearing process for the Hanover District. So from that point, Gage County Zoning does not get involved with, you know, the agreement between that township and that applicant. So
for some reason I was thinking they were going to the top of the hill. I don't know if he has a quarter there, if they were going to do the whole side of the quarter or.
So they have subdivided off. What has come in the last couple weeks is they have subdivided that off. That is now under the ownership of Summit Pork 5, and so that application for subdivision came in about 2 weeks ago, I believe, and so it has been transferred and sold or whatever, you know, merit was. It was approved through our office, and that was only the original intent, you know, as we started this process with their early interview, that they were going to take about 6.5 to 7 acres, you know, and subdivide that off. But so
I guess lastly, if people have lastly for me, if people have concerns or information to get and that they want to turn into the planning and zoning or to the board, do you want to tell them how to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So they can email me. That's fine. Or they can drop copies off. They can mail them. That is just fine. I'll be available here afterwards if they want to talk to me too, and I can give them you know, the process. What I do is I put together a packet before my board goes to public hearing, and, you know, they get that information to them. So sometimes the paper copy for my commission works great because they've got it all in front of them, too. So, but, and obviously they'll have the opportunity for public comment and to voice their concerns during the hearing process for both hearings.
So Lisa will be available if any of you would like to speak with her. Just so you know, also, the P&Z office is downstairs, basically right under us here.
Yep.
So if you do have any concerns or want to drop off any paperwork or have questions or anything like that about this project or any other projects, that's a good point of reference there. But this process is just begun, basically.
Yeah, and keep in mind, there is a cell phone number, the 223-7031 cell phone number. I do not mind getting calls in the evening either. It is available, so if somebody's not downstairs, it will state that phone number and call, and we'll try to get it answered or leave a voicemail, and we'll give you a call back. So,
Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, when they laid that out, just out of curiosity, when they laid that out, where at was that on the property?
So I will, I have copies of the map that I can share with you. I'm not sure I have enough for everybody, but these were the measurements that came back from, I'll come back to you. These are the measurements that came in from Chris. This map was prepared by him. I do have enough. Okay. So, yep. So in relationship to the property where that building structure is, I don't recall offhand how many feet that is from that structure, but it would be directly north, east of that structure. Looking at the two, which I'm sure the people in the audience too want to know, is where were they at on the survey? These were actual surveys. They would be taken, the measurements were taken from the manure production site, which in this case is the pit, the underground pit, to the nearest wall of the residence. And so to Chris Rules, it measured 2,668 feet. Again, 2,668 feet. Our require is a half a mile, so that'd be the 28 feet. Meeting the setback. And then to Richard and Patty Barnard, it is 2,950 feet. Those are your two closest. And then to Max Larson's, 3,307 feet. So, and then from the road center, it would be 173 feet from road center, which would be 176th Road, to where the building site sits, which would be the north, or excuse me, the west lengthwise corner. So if someone's wanting to see a operation that is in the building process a little bit further along than what Hanover is. So Jefferson County does have two approved and one preliminarily waiting for approval. But if you would go to Steel City, go 3 miles east of Steel City on Highway, help me out, eight. And then I believe it's 3 miles north. I went past it on Sunday. So that particular facility is on the east side of the road. That is one that was approved by Jefferson County, the one of the three now that, and it's probably the furthest along and the closest to view. So that the concrete has been poured on that one. The day that on Sunday when I went by, I would say a third of that had the top slats in place, the slatting material, which is brought in. The rest was poured into place. So that way they can kind of see, get a visual of, you know, what this looks like. Again, from Steel City on Highway 8, 3 miles east, and then go north, keep going north, or directly you're kind of south of Harbine, basically, probably about 8 miles or 9 miles.
Did we used to have a setback north and south of 1 mile and east and west of a half a mile? For some reason, that's, I mean...
Say that again.
Did we used to have north and south of a hog facility a mile setback, and east and west it was a half a mile?
We never did. I mean, as far as looking into prevailing winds, things of that nature, no, there was never anything specific to that. Early on when we did zoning, we used the MPUF study, which is now very similar to prevailing winds or Nebraska odor footprint. But the Indiana State had a odor puff tool that we could plug in different merits, and then it was revamped into the Nebraska odor footprint tool. And then again, the other tool that many CAFOs are using is the animal matrix system for feedlots, for CAFOs of any kind, of any size. So it's a scoring system. You have to at least get 75% of the percentile, and we've made that a requirement in the application process. Normally, all CAFOs will provide that. And it was that particular matrix was put together by pork checkoff dollars in the early 80s and 90s, and then many states have also used that particular method. So,
anything else for Lisa this time? Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else, Gary?
No, I got thoughts.
What about him?
He said he didn't have anything.
He didn't.
Thank you, Mr. Lytle. Road and Bridge, Mr. Jurgens.
Not a lot to talk about. Things I remember, there were three townships left, I think, and after those three are finished up, we'll start on spring of 2023 allocations for townships. County Rock Roads, there's been a lot of comments throughout the year, I should say, spring and summer. Mark informed me we will start to see gravel on those roads that were rocked, and I think that will be a huge improvement for those roads. So, about it.
Thank you, sir. At this point, we do have a proclamation to make. It's not on the agenda, but I think this is a good spot before the insurance discussion. To proclaim Thursday, September 14th, 2023 as Big Give Day, whereas Big Give Gage was established as a local day of giving, and whereas the Gage County Foundation has established Big Give Gage in a celebration of philanthropy and volunteerism, where people give whatever is meaningful to them, and whereas Big Give Gage is a day where citizens work together to share commitments, rally for causes, build a stronger community, and think about other people. And whereas it is fitting and proper during Big Give Gage and on every day to recognize the tremendous impact of philanthropy, volunteerism, and community service in Gage County. Now, therefore, we, the Gage County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim September 14th, 2023, to be Big Give Gage Day in Gage County and urge all citizens of Gage County to recognize the tradition of philanthropy as it continues to improve and enhance the lives of all by promoting the common good. So, Big Give Gage, we encourage all of you to give to philanthropies, give back to the community, work however you can for your organizations, and we thank all of you for the work that you do in those causes. We'll move from that on to county business. Up next is approve or disapprove the county health insurance plan for 23-24.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Swavely. Mr. Jurgens, myself, and Mr. Swavely met with the insurance carriers. We looked at, when I say we, our reinsurance carriers looked at multiple reinsurance carriers. We had a couple that got back to us. A lot of them did not choose to choose to give numbers even. We're on a lower pay scale than what they want to participate at. From last year to this year, I believe the increase for 92 employees total for our fixed costs on reinsurance was about $37,000, which is around 11.1%. With that being said, the reason for that lower insurance increase is because we are a self-insured plan. We've been going through multiple things. The clerk's office works hard to help the employees through things like Teladoc. What's that app that shows where the... The Blue Book, where procedures are less expensive. All those items add up and save the county money. So with that, we would look at going with our current carrier again. Be a modest increase from year to year. But there's a, and if any of you want to see, there's a whole list here of carriers that declined to put in a bid. On the NIRMA side of things, we saw a lot higher increases. I will say actual tenfold increases compared to what the insurance increase was here. So we will meet with the insurance carriers. Brad and Lowell are here. We will go over stuff with them again in a meeting with all the employees to stress the importance of using Teladoc, using the Blue Book, going through the cost savings cost-saving tools that we have to keep our insurance down. Another item that I didn't mention, there are drug programs, I think they were called special drugs, or I'll say they're the on-TV, made-for-TV ad drugs that people see, the high-dollar drugs. There's a program that the insurance carriers or administrators are looking at that could offset a lot of this cost by getting those through the mail or changing how employees receive those drugs. That may potentially even offset a lot of that cost. So we aren't a 0% increase. Last year we were darn near zero. We're at a negative increase. We were really flat. We've been a very modest increase in our insurance, but once again, that's because of the self-insurance. If you look at that compared to going with NACO or the big name you'd think of, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, something like that, we're still saving hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. That's a benefit to the county, benefit to the taxpayer, and benefit to the employees. Mr. Juergens, anything that you or Mr. Schwabele would like to add to that?
I think that pretty well points out what went over. So,
just a quick comment. You know, we don't know what's ahead of us as far as insurance-wise, but it's probably not going to be good. We had discussed about upping participation from our employees, but that has not been changed. So for now, I mean, it's something that down the road I think we have to look at. So.
Any additional discussion from the board or questions?
Other than it's about if you figured what it cost us and that we didn't pass on, okay, it's an extra benefit to the employees of percentage-wise and what they're getting from the county.
Anything, Lowell or Brad, anything you'd like to add to that?
Well,
if you do, you'll have to come up to the microphone, please, and give your name for the record.
Brad Swigert, just a couple things. Eric had touched on the drug. The pharmaceuticals are extreme concern, and what we kind of discussed is maybe holding off on an employee meeting to tell we can possibly implement some alternative delivery methods that he talked about that could be extreme savings. But one thing I'd like to say is Dawn and her staff working with Amber, who's in a conference in Chicago today, we've appreciated, we've represented you for 17 years now in self-insured and some years $300,000 or $400,000 savings. And Eric had touched on fully insured this year, believe it or not, would have been about a $700,000 increase to your maximum exposure. And, of course, we're hoping we'd be closer to the minimum exposure than maximum. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to thank the efforts of our beloved Denny Byers, who, you know, was always a huge proponent also, as are all of you, for the employee benefits. But anyway, we're here to help in any way we can and answer any questions you might have, and go from there. Any questions?
It was interesting to me at our meeting we had that, you know, the drug cost thing you were talking about. It would be, and I don't know how it works, but anyway, the drugs would be the same drug, I would assume, is what you spoke about, and they would be brought in from Canada.
Possibly,
is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that was one.
That's one of the programs that is being implemented is, you know, outsourcing the the drug. And of course, mail order is always very attractive, and that's been implemented. But 27% of overall costs of the health insurance is drugs. And, you know, that sounds significant, but I also remind people that's what keeps people from having adverse health conditions, is aligning their. And
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember the cost would be relatively 25%
could be
of
up
what
to,
it would cost.
Yeah, up. Yeah, it could be really low on some of the drugs.
Yes.
And that's an extensive discussion, which we did
I,
have.
I know,
but
it's not.
But it is.
You're looking at it.
Keep in mind, America is the only country that really has a proactive research in drugs. You know, and they spend, the pharmaceutical companies spend tremendous amounts of money. The FDA approves the drugs based on what their costs of implementation of, you know, bringing the drugs to market. And fortunately, some of the other outsourcing things that you mentioned can formulate that same drug, and they don't have that recouping capability. So, but it's something that's proactive. And one of the things that we discussed with the committee is that the thing is, because you've taken the responsibility to accept some risk over the years, has been extremely beneficial in savings, because those fixed costs to insurance companies are just because they look at your group and say, well, here's what could happen, and we're going to just charge them for that because they have to be in business. So it's That's good, Terry. That's good to mention, because the drug thing, and of course Eric had already mentioned that too. But that's a big thing, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, put some. And by the way, just to not scare people, because you know how when things go out the door, they get changed a little bit. It would not be a requirement of the person, but there might be a cost savings that they would have, and if they chose to do it alternatively, there may be a cost eventually passed on to them that you had alluded to and so forth. So
that's a good point to make, is it wouldn't be a requirement, but there could be an additional benefit to the individual as well.
Right, right. And so, and Eric said it, the TV ad drugs, you know, I mean, I don't mean to make fun of losing weight. I could do a little bit of that myself. But, you know, the drug that was created for type 2 diabetes now is being marketed with a bunch of people dancing that are a little overweight saying, you know, let's get on this drug. And some states have even enacted laws that you cannot be prescribed that drug unless you're a type 2 diabetic.
Yeah, that's... There are people that are diabetic now, they can't get the drug.
Yep. In Lincoln, we have one client. She had to go to 5 different Walgreens to pick up her prescription because, you know, what do docs do? You know, it does work. You know, it does work, allegedly, for that. You know, it's a once-a-week injection and about $800 a month, you know. So, you know, you have 10 employees to go do that, it's $8,000, you know, a month.
Just to be specific, we do not pay for weight loss drugs for employees, just so the board knows that.
Eric and I are both examples. No.
Yeah, I would be on that shot.
So anyway, but thanks again, and any questions or anything? I think the employee meetings have always been effective. I always have to pick on Gary because the very first meeting we had, nobody said anything, and he got up and got kind of red in the face and said, okay, guys, you're doing all the complaining to us. Now ask the questions, you know, and that was many years ago. But they are beneficial, and as you guys had alluded to, the use of the online things that are accessible to people today, I mean, it's changed, you know. In fact, one thing I'll add that is of kind of interest, when insurance companies look to take your group over today, you remember the days of filling out the applications and answering every question? Well, that's all gone. You know what they look at? What pharmaceuticals you're on. They underwrite you by pharmaceutical use. And let's say you're a type 2 diabetic and you're on insulin. And you're on insulin and you're not on blood pressure medicine and you're not on cholesterol medicine that all doctors try to push people with diabetes onto to keep their levels low, that would be uprated versus in the person that's taken three usually generic type drugs to keep all those levels down and so forth. But anyway, any questions? Thank you, Dave, for remotely being involved in the meeting last week, you know, and for Eric and Terry and Don, which we spent all morning. We weren't intending to, but it did.
Mr. Swigert, I would say I think it'd be better to plan those meetings sooner than later still with the clerk's office. And it's a minority of people, not minority people, but a minority of employees that are on special drugs. So I think at the time when we do get something like that in place,
well, we're ready.
We can deal with them specifically. That way we can get the information to the rest of the employees.
Right, exactly.
And then later
push
the teledoc. And
Don and Amber are already working on some implementation of getting those done. So anyway, any other questions? Thanks. Lowell and I are here today, and we're going to leave so nobody can ask us anything afterwards.
Thank you, Mr. Swigert.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
We have a motion by Juergen, second by Swavely. Any additional discussion or comment? If not, I would ask for a motion. I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove resolution
23-12
for signing of the county annual certification of program compliance form for 2023.
This is a normal process we do in the last few years.
Do you want to touch on this at all, Mark, what this consists of?
Receive the funds and
basically, this is some administration we have to go through saying that we're doing the proper things to use highway dollars correctly in order to get dollars from the state. Certification program compliance, as far as any money we receive from the state, we're following the rules, we're putting things in properly. We are crossing T's, dotting I's, filling out forms, and building things to state standards.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergen, second by Swavely to approve resolution 23-12. Any questions or concerns? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Second half of this, approve or disapprove county annual certification of program compliance to the Nebraska Board of Public Roads classifications and standards 2023. These are our friends at the Board of Standards. make sure that we're going through putting together approved plans, programs, and standards as required by statute, constructing things and maintaining roads and streets per standard, expending tax revenue for highway road street purposes in accordance with approved plans that meet standards, using revenues and cost accounting, which clearly includes a comparison of receipts and expenditures. These are items that we do, that's our standard process on everything, so it's just telling the state that we are going through this process still.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Schuler. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Six in favor, motion carries. Anything else prior to going into a closed session for personnel?
Just a break.
We'll be going into closed session for personnel. We'll take a 10-minute recess at 9:40. We'll reconvene somewhere around 9:50-ish. If you kick us on, I'll have the sheriff shut the door. Hey, we'll reconvene at 9:53 and go into closed session. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or protection, needless injury of the reputation of an individual for personnel discussion.
Village attorney.
Oh, he would.
At 9:53.
You want a motion?
Let's have a motion to come back in the open.
So move.
Have a motion by Dorn, second by Lytle, to go back into open session at 12:08. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we'll adjourn at 12:08.
Need a motion for that, too?
You want to vote on that?
Yep.
Nah, let's just adjourn. 12:08.
No, on the coming out of the closed session, we need to
vote. Oh, whoops. Okay. Please vote. Five in favor.
Now you can adjourn.
To come out of closed session and be an open session, now we'll adjourn at 12:08.